na 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 na
Even if, even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever.
This is the final Rovers review for 2021. It's an end of season review. We're there. We've made it. And Sligo Rovers can look forward to European football next season. Finn Harps can look forward to Premier Division football yet again next season. We'll reflect on the seasons just past, what we liked, maybe what we didn't like, and what we'd like to see for the 2022 season. And we'll do that in the company of Gavin Dykes, who's been part of our commentary teams throughout this 2021 football season. Mark Rossiter joins us via Zoom from Dublin, and Donal Ryan is here with us as well over the next 40 minutes. You may have thoughts, talking points you want to raise, questions you want to put to the guys. You can do that by text or by WhatsApp. The number is easy, 083 3500 530. We'll hear from the lads shortly, but first reflections on the final match on Friday night. Sligo Rovers 1, Bohemians 1 was how it finished at the Showgrounds. In a moment, we'll hear from Ryan De Vries on his future at the Showgrounds. But first, one of the people who rejoined Sligo Rovers mid-season and has been making a bit of an impact in the closing games, midfielder Shamey Keogh.
The big aim of ours when I came in especially was to get Europe. And look, I'm just happy that I could help the team and the team helped me get better as a player. So I'm looking forward to next year. It's going to be a big year for us.
And you're getting more and more gate time as the season came to a close there. So you're finding your feet there.
Yeah. Look, I'll be looking to come back in fit for pre-season, have a good pre-season and get a good run next year. So, like I said, I'm really looking forward to getting in next year and getting going again.
What's the potential of this squad, do you think?
Oh, beyond, I reckon. Beyond anything you think of. I mean, next year we'll be pushing to win the league and get into that Champions League and European spots. So it's exciting times for the club, I think.
And you're happy here?
Oh, delighted to be home. No place like home, as they say.
Well, Ryan De Vries, you're in various stages of undress. Clearly, the fans have got hold of your shirt or your post-match top tonight. But that's the nature of the end of season, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we do it for them. You know, they come in, they spend their money to see us, to see us perform, and you know, cheers, brother. Good luck for the final. And it's to give them just anything. Well, he's good enough, so yeah, happy with how the season finished. So yeah, looking forward to what's ahead, I guess.
How do you look back on this season for yourself?
We had a very good squad, so trying to get into the squad to break through was tough, but I felt like when I did come in, I made a difference and I worked hard for the team, and that showed towards the end of the season. So yeah, I'm happy with what I gave.
We love you, Ryan.
That's Walter Figueroa. He clearly is a fan of yours. We will remember your two exquisite goals against St Pat's this season, among many other things. Yes. I suppose what Rovers fans want to know, will you be here next season, Ryan?
Well, I'd love to be here next season, but we'll see in the next couple of days, so fingers crossed.
Okay. You're enjoying Sligo, though. I get that impression from
you. Yes, love Sligo, love the people around it. I've settled in well with my family. Even last year when I was here by myself, everyone helped me settle in, and it's good people around the club, so you know, you never know what the future holds, but hopefully I'll be back in the Sligo Rovers gear next year.
That's Ryan De Vries speaking to us after Friday night's 1-1 draw with Bohemians. He's one of the players who hasn't signed yet for next season. By our count, 15 names are across the finish line in terms of being part of the squad next season. Maybe that's changed even in the last 24 hours. We'll update that and go through that with the guy shortly. You are texting and WhatsApping already. This no name to this text, but it says, great to finish in the top three this season and qualified for European football for the second year in a row. This is very important for the club. But this texter says, we must prioritise getting through to a second round, as this is where the serious money is. We always seem to freeze in Europe, apart from when we beat Banga. Do you remember Banga? Prize money is four times what Shamrock Rovers got for winning the Premier Division this year. Bohemians got €850,000, according to this texter, this season, for the couple of games they won in the Europa Conference League. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But let me go around the table. It's a virtual table. We're not in studio, let me stress. Mark Rossiter joins us online from Dublin. Mark, give me your summary of the season from with your Sligo Rovers hat. You don't have to be impartial. You can bring your Sligoism out here right now. How do you assess that 2021 season?
Very positive. I suppose the last game before the break when they played against Shamrock Rovers, to hold the champions and the strongest squad by a country mile, let's say, to them not having a shot on target in the whole game was unbelievable. I think the disappointing thing was after the break they didn't kick on from there. There was a little lull in the middle, and you know they went on a run where they couldn't seem to get a win. And I think that's where, I suppose, all the critics came out from everywhere to have a pop at the team a little bit. But for them to finish in the top three was unbelievable. Some very, very strong performances from the local boys, I suppose, coming towards the end of the season with John Mann being at the forefront there. He was excellent all year long. And for them to finish third was an incredible season.
Was John Mahan your player of the season?
Yes.
Yeah, mine too.
Himself, Johnny was a shining light as well, but John Mann was a stalwart. To be honest, it'd be if Buckley didn't miss the couple of games that he did. McGinty as well is a close one there as well. But I think as a partnership, Gary Buckley and John Mann were probably for me the best partnership in the league.
Yeah,
from the centre half.
Yeah, I mean, I think the seven players shortlisted for Senior Player of the Year, you could have made a very valid case for each of them. Greg Bulger, too, his season was interrupted by injury, but in terms of the influence he had, certainly in particular in that first half of the season, getting the season going as well. Gavin Dykes, what will be your standout highlights from the 2021 season?
I think the emergence of a really good upcoming talent in young Johnny Kenny. I think he's a standout performer for me, not only with Sligo Rovers, one of the best players in the league now. He's came on in leaps and bounds. He's as good as what I have seen for his age. Definitely without a shadow of a doubt, I think the future is very bright for him. And I suppose fair play to everybody involved in the club. You know, he's signed a new deal. It'll be interesting to see if we can keep him, honestly, to be honest with you, because I think there's any amount of clubs looking for him. Rightly so, he's been outstanding for us.
And not to go off on a tangent, but two of his younger brothers, I'm pretty sure they're his younger brothers, Kieran and Niall Kenny, helped Shamrock Gaels win the Sligo Minor Gaelic football title today. So they're coming out like ants from Riverstown, it would appeal, in terms of the talent in the Kenny clan and extended clan, it would seem. Donal Ryan is with us as well. You're a fan, first and foremost, Donal. And, you know, We saw some pretty heated exchanges at different intervals in the season, online in particular, from Sligo Rovers fans. But at the end of the day, you couldn't but be pleased with how Rovers have finished, that the league table doesn't lie and there they are in the top three.
Yeah, as you said, Austin, the league table doesn't lie. And we got to where we wanted to get to, but we certainly should have got there a lot sooner, I think. But I do think the general consensus amongst the fans, anyways, is that on the whole, it's been a good season. You know, we met our objectives. We got into Europe for the second year in a row. And of course, the emergence of Johnny Kenny, as Gavin highlighted there, has been the far and away the highlight. You can see from the beginning of the season, we knew he was a talent. We knew what he could bring to the table, the potential that was there. But even looking at him now, he's grown into such a better player. Like, you could see even in the last couple of weeks of the season, the difference in him, game by game, scoring goals for fun, for Rovers and for Ireland as well, we must add. You can really see just how good a player he can be.
Is there a danger, guys, that we might put too much pressure on Johnny Kenny already? He's had a fabulous season. He is 18 years of age. He still has to do his Leaving Cert mark next June. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, I mean, okay, I know privately we'll all be saying, how much longer can we hold on to this guy if he keeps performing this way? Surely a bigger club with a bigger war chest is going to come in and say, right, let's take a chance on this guy and take him across. But, you know, he has become, you know, whether we like it or not, he has become a fulcrum for the team in terms of his appeal and, you know, that kind of excitement moment guy that people look to. It has happened already. There's no getting around that.
And there's nothing you can do when you see the week that he's had with the Irish under-19s. He plays 3 games, scores 3 goals. So whether or not the Sligo Rovers fans want to build him up, or I suppose play it down a little bit and keep pressure off him, his performances are just encouraging this, I suppose, optimism that he could be, I suppose, leading Sligo to, I suppose, a challenge next year for an 18-year-old. But, you know, for me, everything that he does good, he does, I suppose, first of all, from the front. He defends from the front, and he makes it so much easier for the players behind him because he just puts pressure. He doesn't sit off. He's not, I suppose, looking tactically. Like, as soon as he's just closing down. Like, the first goal that he scored this season, you know, he done it himself, closing down the keeper, blocking a shot, and he scores. Like, I love his enthusiasm. I love everything about him. I think he's fabulous.
0833 500 530 is the number to text or to WhatsApp if you want to get in on the discussion. Johnny got 2 awards on Friday night, the Young Player of the Year and the Bit of Red Supporter Trust Player of the Season, which his dad, Johnny Senior, presented to him. Mark, I'm going to call you back on a line. We just have a slight issue with, not at your end, at our end, with your Zoom call there. So I'm going to call you back in 30 seconds and bring you up on the phone line, which might just be easier for listeners to hear in just a moment. Gavin, in terms of up front, you know, we will look at Johnny Kenny, his contribution. We'll also look at Rovers' return rate in front of goal. And this might seem slightly churlish getting into a negative thing, but I'm sure it's the things that Dave Campbell and Liam Buckley will address, that maybe Rovers did not score as many goals as ideally he would have liked to have seen from Rovers in the 2021 season. Is that fair comment?
I think it is. I think defensively we've been really, really good. I think we've been very strong at the back. I think Robbie McCourt should get a special mention as well. I think he's been a very good addition to us. Buckley has been excellent. John Mann has gone into a really, really top centre half. You know, he must be really good. When I see Stuart Byrne put him in his team of the year, and trust me, Dublin people don't give away a lot outside of Dublin, so it's great for him. I think Lewis Banks has been a revelation at right back since he came. You had Buldrin sitting in front of that, you know, and Ed McGinty behind it. It's really, really good going out. I think the problem that I see is that we don't play wingers. You know, we play players, not out and out winger players. We play, you know, De Veras and Fearsome is more a centre forward. He's been playing on the left. You know, besides Young Byrne is a centre forward as well. You know, he's been playing on the right at times. Figuera has been playing on the right. So you're expecting your fullbacks to give you the width, and at times that can be easy to defend against. And if we looked at Bohemians the other night, you know, with Burt on one side, you know, they were a real, real threat. And I think that's something Liam will look at. I think we haven't had an outside left in a couple of seasons since he came here. I'm sure he's going to try and look at that. I hear rumours that he's looking to talk to Will Fitzgerald at Derry, who plays on the right-hand side but can also play on the left-hand side. He's a decent player. And the night above in Derry, he was excellent for Derry, so I think that's an area we need to strengthen. I think we need a centre forward. You know, Andre Wright, jury is out. For me, I take a chance on him. I think he's not fit. It's difficult for him to come in the middle of the season. He hadn't played a lot of football. He's already shown the last time he was with Bowes that he scores a lot of goals. He's different than what we have. He's more a target man. I think if we got him fit and got him up and at it, he'd be an addition. But that's the challenge. And I suppose the bigger challenge, Austin, is that everybody is looking for forward players. You know, it's difficult. It's going to be a difficult challenge for Liam. I think the recruitment has to be, you know, spot on this year. If we are going to stay in contention for European places, I think as I said already, it's a massive achievement. You know, to finish third, and that's going through a really bad patch.
Yeah.
You know, we went really through a bad patch, but you know, the league is going to be a lot stronger next year. I've no doubt about that. You know, Shamrock Rovers have shown their attention already with Jack Byrne signing.
Yeah.
You know, Pats are going to be stronger. Derry are going to be a real force with the money that's coming to them. And it's going to be challenging to try and get to stay in Europe.
Sure, sure. And I'll come to that. I do want to talk about the reinforcements that certain clubs are bringing to the party for the 2022 season. But the point you touched on about a few clubs are looking for centre forwards, and Mark is back with us as well on the phone line. And Donal, guys, feel free to jump in if you have a view on this. Why is it so hard to find centre forwards? And maybe this is an old fashioned view. I mean, I would have thought the first thing every kid in Ireland and any country did, you're out kicking football, you want to score goals. But even at international, senior international level for Stephen Kenny, finding an out and out clinical centre forward seems to be a real challenge now. Has the way we've gone coaching young players got too technical, that there's less of the backstreet football games where you're learning how to naturally finish? Or why is the market so seemingly thin on the ground for out-and-out number nines?
I think a lot of it has to do with systems teams play now. You know, either 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. You know, it used to be 4-4-2, where there was two people up front. Now nobody plays that system. Everybody goes for what they call a number 10, which is an extra player in midfield, which means your centre-forward not only has to defend from the front by himself, you know, but also has to go and attack. He's relying on people getting up to him. I remember in my day, you know, the only team that played that was Shelburne with Stephen Gagan, and Stephen Gagan was an out-and-out, miles ahead of anything I had seen in the country at the time. You know, he was really, really good. He worked the back line the way it was. But the Shells were the only ones playing that sort of system back then. So, I mean, every team now plays it. And I think it's hard to get somebody that, you know, has everything. I think that's the beauty about Johnny Kenny, as it was not Hartman. He has raw pace. It scares the living daylights out of people. Pace that he can run in behind, and he's a very good finisher, and he never stops working. But they're hard to get, Austin. They really, really are.
Mark, have you come across any young promising centre-forwards in Dublin or during the matches you've seen this season?
No, like, I suppose, look, it's everyone has been lauding praise on, I suppose, the likes of Bowes or Ross Tierney and stuff like that. And I think the most impressive thing with, say, Sligo when they played against Finn Harps, when Johnny scored that goal, he came short. And it seems like there's very, very few players that are willing to run in behind now. Johnny comes short and spins in behind, and can't remember who played the pass to him, but when they played it to him, he's running in, great finish, and he scores. But Ross Tierney, let's say, Georgie Kelly has done so well up top for Bowes because he's got runners off him everywhere. Ross Tierney is going to move to Motherwell. Ali Coote was doing it. And then they've got players in behind that can see the passes to do it. Bert has done well for them as well. So these fellas that are willing to make runs off the ball to maybe make space for somebody else. But as Dicey said there about Johnny, scares the living daylights out of people, because that ball over the top in behind can stretch them hugely. So it allows more space for the likes of McDonald, Bulger, to maybe command the ball a little bit more and dictate the pace of the game from Rovers' point of view.
Donal, is there any danger here that we might get sucked into trying to building an attacking unit around Johnny Kenny, and suddenly 2 months into next season he might be gone because of his success?
It is very possible. I think, especially when you look at Romeo leaving now, we only have two out-and-out strikers at the club, well, for the first team anyways. So I think certainly it's an area that we do need to strengthen. As Gavin said, you know, Andre Wright remains to be seen whether he'll be sticking around either. So I think the more forward players or the more strikers that the club can kind of tie down, as difficult as it may be, as the lads have highlighted there, the more forwards that we can tie down, the better, I think.
Well, on that, Gavin, you know, two players that it's not clear yet to us anyway, maybe, unless it's been up on social media today and I haven't seen it, but two attacking players that we don't know for sure whether they are signed for next season. That's Walter Figueira and Ryan De Vries. Is it worth sticking with those two next season, do you think?
Look, I think Figueira is a good player, and I like him. I think he's been playing wide left and wide right. I sort of like him centrally. I like him in the 10 area. You know, I watched him against Shamrock Rovers there in Tallinn. He was our best player there. And I think that could be definitely an addition. He can go both ways, and he's technically very good. I think De Vries has done bits and pieces. He scored a couple of spectacular goals. Now, in fairness to him, he's been asked to play mostly on the left-hand side, and he came as a centre-forward or as a 10. And I think that goes to show you how short we are on wide areas. like, you know, a centre forward will score goals, but the ball has to be put into the box for us to score goals from. And I think, you know, Jordan Gibson, you know, was outstanding when he played on the right-hand side to start of the season. Then, for whatever reason, Liam put him in as a 10. I think he lost a bit of momentum. I think, you know, he lost his way a wee bit. He scored a couple of goals from here, but didn't affect the game as much. And I think, you know, people still like, and supporters still like to see wingers. You know, I know Mark was a very good fullback. The last thing you want to do is see some one-on-one running with somebody with your pace. You know, it's not what you want. It's not what you want. And I think we need that. I think we lack it on both sides. And I think if Liam could get that, I think that would contribute more to the overall goal scoring in the team.
Could Ryan DeVries be the old-fashioned nine?
Yeah, I think he could be. I think, you know, he holds it up. He's strong. He's good. He's technically very good. I think when he came back, first of all, he wasn't fit. He wasn't in the condition that it was for Mobile to get fit. But he's got better. You know, I wouldn't be against signing him. But like I said, you know, it's early days in the market. You know, there's going to be a lot of players available, especially in England at the moment. But again, anybody that you take over, there's a chance in taking them. You know, everybody wants the perfect one. Everybody's looking for the perfect one. You know, if they're perfect, they wouldn't be coming across the water to be staying in England. So there's a flaw in every player you take, and you're taking a chance. But I think if the recruitment is right, you know, we have people that have helped us before. You know, Jerry Cassidy has been a huge asset to Sligo Rovers down through the years. I don't know if he does it now, but he has always sent players here. He has a huge range of contacts. You know, it might be something that he might be able to help us with.
Mark, how do we guard against Sligo Rovers having a mid-season dip next season like they did this year? And we can point to that night in mid-July when they lost the first leg of their Europa Conference League game 1-0 against FH in Iceland. It didn't seem a terminal result, but it seemed to, for whatever reason, precipitate a decline in results, the 7-game losing streak, etc. And then inconsistency even for a fair while after that, before the club finally steadied the ship in the closing matches of the league season. And going back to our texter's point that the key next season is to win a round in Europe, that offers so much financially as much as anything else.
Yeah, look, Europe for a long time was a bonus for Irish clubs, that in the hope that you may get through a round and stuff like that. Now it's definite that, like, I suppose if you look at all the games this year, Sligo is probably the only team that have left, I suppose, $300,000 on the table there. A team that they could have definitely beaten. How do you make it? Look at it's the look at the draw as well. You know, the coefficient and whether you're seeded or unseeded, like you've no control over that, I suppose. But you're looking for a favourable draw, and in the hope that you can, I suppose, have two good games to get through around. You know, that's out of your hands with regards to the draw. But the thing I'd be looking for Liam to try and recruit, yeah, they have to be good players. But like, Bucco's only going to play one way. It's a nice way for footballers. The biggest problem is for me when Greg is out of the team, the lack steel. They've got nice players, but, you know, Greg's a winner. I think Conan Byrne put up something on social media that when Greg's in the team, they won 53 or 57% of games when he was in the team, against when he was out of the team, they won 17%. That's huge. Like, so that shows what he brings to the team when he's there. He's demanding, he demands off players. I'd be looking for Liam to try and obviously get somebody that fits into the football philosophy that he wants in the 4-3-3, but like recruit winners that, you know, the likes of Stevie O'Donnell, who is a winner. I'm just using him as that type of player. Let's say John Mann, I'd be looking at him going, when Gary Buckley's not in the team, can you be both? You know, not be brilliant when Buckley is there beside you, but when Lewis Banks was going in beside you, can you guide Lewis Banks the way that Buckley does with you? You know, so I think, as Dykes said there, he has to recruit well, but I'd be looking for more steel in my team because there's loads of nice players there, but I think they need to have demanding players there, like say in the league there, like Gary Deegan, who's barking at people all the time because he wants to win every tackle, wants the team to win. So Bulger is like that, albeit a better footballer, but you know, he can't do it on his own. So that's what I'd be looking for. I'd be looking for him, like everybody, to recruit winners, to be honest.
Which points to strength and depth again a bit, doesn't it, Donal, in terms of we're looking at Derry City and they seem to be buying around them. They have the cash to do so and they're attracting some of the home birds back, the Michael Duffys, the Patrick McElhennys. Even it looks like Georgie Kelly might be heading, you know, Donegal born, not too far away for him. Shamrock Rovers, we know their prowess. There's out with the new, in back in with the old in Dundalk, but I think it's reasonable to assume potentially Dundalk are going to be pretty strong next season. Maybe there's a bit of rebuilding of Bohemians, but St. Pat's are strong. And, you know, in fairness to the club, they've got to be careful here. I mean, how gung-ho do you go in terms of what you can afford to try and keep up with clubs who have, let's face it, more cash than Sligo Rovers?
Yeah, I think we'll have to kind of be punching above our weight a little bit just to try and compete. When you look at Derry, you know, talk of they've signed Michael Duffy and Patrick McElhenny already. The young goalkeeper from Bray, Brian Maher, he's heading that way as well as Will Patching. He'll be announced tomorrow as a new signing for them. So, you know, they really do have the pick of the bunch at the moment. I know Rory Higgins was saying during the week with Alan Cawley that it's not all it seems or whatever, but like you'd have to take that with a pinch of salt. Of course, he's going to say that. But talking about strength and depth, you know, it's key to have good characters in the dressing room. And I think the one thing that kind of harks back to our poor run was Jordan Gibson. I think everyone's kind of forgotten about him. You know, it was all well and good when he was playing well at the start of the season, and then I think his head kind of got turned. You know, he might have got a bit homesick or whatever. It was always clear that he wanted to go back to England at some stage. And when things weren't going too well, maybe his attitude kind of dipped and was causing problems in the dressing room. We don't know that, but his kind of dip in form certainly coincided with ours, and he was gone pretty soon after that.
Right, Gavin, you know the league pretty well, and you know the Irish League north of the border. You come across players, you have a fair sense of the landscape and what's out there. Is it realistic for Sligo Rovers to be able to, in inverted commas, keep up with the Derry Cities, the Shamrock Rovers, the Dundalks, in terms of their scope for recruitment?
I think you've got to be very careful on what you want, Austin. I think the one club that has probably done this right, and I don't mean this in a bad way, because I wouldn't be a good fan of it, is Shamrock Rovers. Shamrock Rovers aren't just the first team. They're a massive football club that have built their academy all the way up, from underage all the way up. They've done it. They've started that process 5-6 years ago. They're the best underage talent, you know, coming through. Not only that, they can go out and sign the likes of Jack Byrne, but they're really, really good players. I think that they're starting blooded some of their young players into their first team now. So I think they're going to be there for a good while. You got to be careful. We look at the Dundalks, we look at the Corks, we look at Shells are back now in the league, but look at what they went through. You know, it was bang or bust. You look at Cork City where they ended up. You know, and you got to give great credit to the people who run Sligo Rovers Football Club, because they've been prudent all the way through. You can only pay out what you can afford. And the problem with bringing players to Sligo is that you have to pay a wee bit extra to get them there, because not a lot of players want to come out, you know, and live in the country as they would look at it. And you've got to get the right characters, I think, as Mark said. And it's a balance that you've got to get. Can we compete? I think we can. I think the crowd, the community base, and that attracts people as well. And I think anybody who's in the show comes here tonight, the atmosphere, and it was great. I was in Derry the week before doing the game for you, and the atmosphere in the Brandywell was really, really good as well. I think Derry know that they're on the crest of a wave. That, you know, I know they haven't won the league in 25 years, that's something that they really want back. They're bringing all their local players back. So I think it's going to be very, very challenging. But I do think it's doable. But it's a fine margin. It really, really is. Because if you go pushing it and it doesn't work out and you don't get Europe, you end up with Tet the following year. Then you have to cut your squad, cut your budget. So it's not easy. And anybody who thinks it is easy, you know, or thinks that running a football club in this country is simple, really, really should have a look and get involved, because trust me, I admire anybody who gets involved in it as a volunteer.
Well, Mark, we saw the scale of ambition that Sligo Rovers do have in terms of walking that fine line. How far do you push it? I mean, the club published an impressive looking master plan which revamps the showgrounds, a 6,000 seater stadium that can scale up to meet the category requirements of UEFA levels, introducing an enhanced nighttime academy that could be restaurant and stuff in the plaza outside the ground, finding a new location for an enhanced academy. The academy, as more teams come on stream, there's a women's senior football team coming down the track. Rovers are going to need more space. And we had Conor O'Grady, the head of Sligo Rovers Academy, on this programme just a couple of Sundays ago, who made the insightful point, and it might be a point that on the one hand you want to hear and on the other hand you don't want to hear, that a key barometer of the success of the academy, apart from producing players for the first team, will be the club's ability to strategically at the right time be able to sell on players for a good enhancement for the club, because apart from the cash they get in and subsequent sell-on clauses, it's actually a good selling point to attract future upcoming talent to the club.
Absolutely. Everything about it, like just echoing what Dykesy said there again, fairly sure he's reading my mind when he's saying these things, but
that's because I know you chop, you see.
No, they have to do it right. I think the key here is you need the club to be realistic with what they're doing and having complete transparency with the fans, so that if it's a case of, look at the infrastructure is the important thing, look at if they qualify for Europe, you know, for the next five seasons in a row, brilliant. But everything else, what you said there beforehand, the infrastructure, the ground, everything else, that is the most important thing, because that's setting structures in place for the next 10, 20 years, so that it's a case of, you know, young players that might come back from England disillusioned, they'll come to Sligo because, you know, you'll come here and you're coming into a brilliant facility, re-educate yourself, go and play football in a brilliant stadium with fans that, you know, if you're doing well, you know, all fans want you is you to try, you know, to give 100% when you're out there, like to bleed for the jersey, let's say. So if they can get all them structures right, then I think anything is possible with that club, because they've a fabulous fan base. You know, I've played against Rovers there when the place is wedged and the pitch is shaking, and it's brilliant. So I think it ticks every box, but I think there just has to be transparency from the board with regards to the fans and what they're looking to achieve. And what, I suppose, rather than shooting for the stars and falling flat, that you go, look, this is a realistic target. This is what we're aiming for, to build structures that way, and not, as you say, gung-ho it. You need to be looking, because, you know, with Shamrock Rovers taking, say, Liam Scales from UCD and selling him on to Celtic, Gavin Bazunu coming through, you know, selling these players for, and it's not six figures as in 100 grand, it's six figures as in 400,000 or 500,000 with add-ons. So, like, you know, that's huge. So I think you look at putting these structures in place. With Johnny, after signing a three-year deal, I don't know if he has a release clause or not, but when he starts performing, you can command a fee for him, and a big fee if you know, if there's not something set in paper, you know. So, I think, look, provided that there's realistic achievements put in front, and the fans, you know, don't be getting on their back because they lose a game or two games in a row, and they go, look at it, so it's all about the bigger picture.
Donal Ryan, you're the youngest Rovers man here in this discussion. So as someone who stands on the terraces, cheering on, shouting for Rovers, will fans understand this tightrope that the club has to walk in terms of, you know, you want the club to be title contenders, but there may be moments where they have to make difficult choices, strategic choices for the clubs. Do you think supporters will buy into that, or are they going to throw their hands to heaven and say, what are you doing to us?
No, I think supporters definitely will get behind it. I mean, we all know the role that Sligo Rovers plays in the community. We pride ourselves on being a community club and, you know, doing it for the fans, and everything goes through the fans. So I think the fans definitely will get on board with that. And it's like, you know, the plan that's been laid out for the next couple of years, the strategic plan, we know what's at the end, and we know what we can achieve with it. The potential is there, definitely. So, like, you know, there's give and take with everything. I think with what's going to be coming down the line, as you said, Austin, strategic decisions will have to be made, and I think that the majority of fans will be able to get on board with that.
Right, guys, time is a little bit running against us, so I want to fire a few quick fire talking points about the league in general to you, and you can jump in whoever wants to answer these. Damien Duff and Shelburne next season, is that a marriage that's going to work?
I think it's good for the league, Austin. He's high profile. He's had an awful lot of players go from Shelburne already. It'll be interesting to see what his recruitment is like. The chairman is after coming out and saying that, you know, they want to try and get into Europe and bring back Champions League days and all that. There is a big ask, but definitely good for the league. The more higher profile players we have and managers coming to our league is only good for us.
Are Dundalk still going to be a force, or will that be another League of Ireland boom and bust story?
It's a rebuilding. It's a rebuilding exercise at this stage. If Patchen is signing as well, you know, how many more Pat Hoban's out of contract? I think Andy Boyle is the only person who's still in contract. So that's a huge rebuild. You know, they've had so many players that have been there for so long that have left, the likes of Chris Shields, John Mountney, let's say, you know, Pat Hoban, he was linked with Linfield as well during the season. So, you know, it's going to be a rebuild, and I assume they'll have a decent budget, but, you know, they haven't even sorted out who's going to be managing the team next year. So, you know, that I don't think Dundalk will be challenging. I think it's a big project for whoever takes over.
Okay, if we agree that Shamrock Rovers are likely to be the team to beat next season, I want each of you to pick one team that is potentially best placed to challenge them. Donal, I'll start with you. You can take off your Sligo Rovers scarf for this answer.
I reckon St. Pat's, depending on their recruitment, will definitely be up there again. You know, Stephen O'Donnell's done a fantastic job in there, his first full season as their manager, bringing them up to second. I'd say their ambitions would have been no more than us, just trying to get into Europe and just be in and around it. But they really, I suppose, a bit more than ourselves come the end of the season. They really kind of did solidify second place, so I reckon they might be one of the ones up there to kind of push Shamrock Rovers all the way.
Gavin Dykes, it's not really a one club answer, but if I had to push you and pick one club to challenge Shamrock Rovers in a big, big way, who would you pick?
I think Derry will be a force next year, Austin. I think the Murray Higgins is very bright. You know, of what he's done, he's worked under Stephen Kenny, he's got experience. You know, he's brought Raff in, you know, who I know is a really, really good coach. And like I said, there's a feeling around Derry that their time is coming back, and if the Brandywell is rocking like it was tonight to play at Sligo, trust me, it'll be a real, real force. It'll be a difficult place to go, and I think it could be very, very close to it next year.
Mark, would you pick Derry, or would you pick another club to go close?
Sure. I don't think you could look past the two teams that the two boys have said there. Pats and Derry, I'd assume Pats will finish second. Just from a continuity point of view, Rory's going to be bringing in new players. Patchen was there for half the season, unknown from Dundalk. Patrick McElhenney has struggled, you know, with injuries. Duffy falling out of form a little bit, came back towards the end of the season. So, you know, I think Georgie Kelly's the big one there. I know nothing has been announced, but look at the rumour mill is going everywhere. So it'll be interesting, but there might be too many new faces for them. So I'd be saying Pats will be the closest to Shamrock Rovers outside of Sligo, hopefully.
Should Ollie Horgan of Finn Harps get manager of the season?
Yes. I'd have said Rory Higgins, to be honest.
I'd have said Ollie Horgan, and he should have got a manager of the season the last two seasons, to be honest with you. For Sligo Rovers to get into Europe is a massive achievement. For Ollie Horgan to keep Finn Harps on the budget that he has in the Premier Division year in, year out, is outstanding, Austin. It really, really is. You know, his work rate and his honesty. And again, he's fantastic for the league. He really, really is, you know. And I think he's the longest serving manager now. And fair play to him. He does it every year. And I have no doubt he'll do it again next year.
It's probably the best crop of players he's had from a footballing point of view available to him as well, with Ryan Connolly, Barry McNamee, Shane McElhenney and stuff like that. He's got some very good players there. The start of the season, the way that they started, I thought they're going to be hands down mid-table. And then I seen them against Drogheda up in United Park, or heading to Game Park, sorry, that they were so poor, they sat so deep, and, you know, they went 1-0 up and sat back. He's unbelievable. I spoke to him once on the phone, and I told him that, I said, look, it's a good thing that I don't meet you, because I said, I'm retiring. And I said, if I met you, I'd sign for you. So, like him and Hegarty, you know, they're two of the best. You know, you'd run through a wall for them. So, look, as Gav said there, he'll do the same again next year. He'll keep them in the league again.
And yeah, I'd agree with what the lads are saying. You know, it's miracle after miracle. They perform season after season up there in Donegal. I don't know how they do it, but he will have a big job again this coming summer, just to keep the, like as Mark said there, it probably is one of the best groups of players that he's had for Finn Harps. But Adam Foley said today that he's saying his goodbyes to the club. I think it's confirmed he won't be signing on for next year, so Ollie will have a job on his hands. Foley, of course, did score some huge goals for Harps this year, you know, beating Derry in the Brandywell for the first time. He got the winner. He was flying for them at the start of the season as well, when you know, they were up around the other end of the table, a bit further up than they're used to, I suppose. But he'll have another big job on his hands again this season, Ollie Horgan.
Sounds like he might have to turn water into wine once again. Gents, thank you very much for your thoughts and contributions this evening. It's been fun following Sligo Rovers this season. And maybe if they can crack that consistency nut, maybe you can add their name into, well, I won't say title contenders. I'm not going to curse anything. Gavin Dykes, thank you.
Thank you, Austin.
And Mark Rossiter, we'll see you next season.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much. And to Donal Ryan as well for your thoughts and contributions. And we'll be back in the new year as Rovers look forward to the 2022 season.
Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rovers